Prabhupada ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem se kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Radha Radha Srivastri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyam Kundra Rakunda ki Govardhan ki jai. Sri Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Sri Sri Namarup Dham ki jai. Sri Sri Mayapur Dham ki jai. Sri Sri Mathura Dham ki jai. Sri Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai. Sri Sri Yoji Dham ki jai. Tulasi Devi ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Ganga Maya ki jai. Jamuna Maya ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. Harinama Sankirtana ki jai. Sri Sri Brihatma Danga ki jai. Transcendental Prasadam Distribution ki jai. Sri Sri Gornitai ki jai. Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Madana Mohan ki jai. Sri Sri New Hastinapura Dham ki jai. Shama Veda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Hare Krishna. I think if some of you can just slide about 1-2 meters, 2 feet to your right, away from this Vyasasan, we'll make more room for people. Otherwise, what happens is they get very congested in the back and they can't get in. That's it. Thank you very much. So, tonight, to continue our program, I'm going to be reading from the Nectar of Instruction, or Upadeshamrita. This is a book that has been rendered by Prabhupada. This is Prabhupada's Murti here. It's a book by Rupa Goswami, one of our famous acharyas in the line of succession. And in this book, which he composed, there are several very wonderful hints about how to progress in devotional service, how to make the best of devotional service. So in this text, there are 11 different mantras, and each mantra, each text, has a little bit of information how we can improve our devotional service. What are the secrets to advancing in Krishna consciousness? What are the best methods for engaging in keeping our consciousness fixed on Krishna, even while we're in a very materialistic world? So I'm going to read the third mantra and speak something about it. We'll read a little bit of Srila Prabhupada's commentaries. And then if you want to ask something, maybe you can make a mental note, or if you have a pencil and paper, you can write it down, and we'll have a little time afterwards for questions or comments. So this is text number 3 from Upadeshamrita, the Nectar of Instruction by Rupa Goswami, rendered by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And this verse reads, Utsahan nishchaya dharyat tat tat karma pravartanat sangat yagat satovrite sadbir bhakti prasidyati. And the translation? There are 6 principles favorable to the execution of pure devotional service. 1, being enthusiastic, utsahan. 2, endeavoring with confidence, nishchayat. Being patient, acting according to the regulative principles such as Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna. Next is abandoning the association of non-devotees. And last, and 6th, is following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. These 6 principles undoubtedly assure the complete success of pure devotional service. So this is a help. Everybody in the world is looking for help. Sometimes we're practically crying out for help, but we're getting all sorts of help in our education, in our workplace. We're getting instruction. We're getting association of advanced people who know more than we do. And in practically every area of endeavor, there's help. If you want help raising your children, there's books on, there's experts. If you want help in advancing your job, there's experts who can tell you how to do that better. If you want to earn a little extra money on the side, there's experts who can tell you how to do that. So everyone is looking for some expert help. And this verse is giving us some expert assistance in our devotional service, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which we're going to do later, worshipping the deities, getting into association with devotees in the temple and the deities, taking prasadam offered by the deities, and making our home a very transcendental, wonderful, spiritual place to be. And of course, conveying this knowledge to our friends through our personalities and our environments. So this is what Prabhupada says first about this verse, which is in six parts. Devotional service, he says, this is his purport, is not a matter of sentimental speculation or imaginative ecstasy. A couple of weeks ago, Madhu was asking about feel-good religions, that there's a brand of new age or new religions or some old religions made over in a new form to make people just feel good at any cost, to do anything that makes you feel good. So Prabhupada is saying that this is not a sentimental speculation or imaginative ecstasy. Sometimes people see Hare Krishna devotees chanting and dancing and jumping and having kirtans, and they think that they're just reveling in some kind of musical entertainment or in some disco type of dancing affair, and just getting into a state of ecstasy by some imaginary artificial process. Prabhupada says that substance is practical activity. Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu has defined devotional service as follows: Anyabhilashita sunyam Kyana karma janavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti rutama. Uttama bhakti, or unalloyed devotion unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, involves the rendering of devotional service in a way that is favorable to the Lord. This devotional service should be free from any extraneous motive and devoid of fruitive karma, impersonal jnana, or other selfish desires. Bhakti is a sort of cultivation. As soon as we say cultivation, we must refer to activity. Cultivation of spirituality does not mean sitting down idly for meditation as some pseudo-yogis teach. Such idle meditation may be good for those who have no information of devotional service, and for this reason it is sometimes recommended as a way to check distracting materialistic activities. Meditation means stopping all nonsensical activities, at least for the time being. Devotional service, however, not only puts an end to all nonsensical, mundane activities, but also engages one in meaningful devotional service. Sri Prahlad Maharaj recommends Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam, Sakyam Atmani Vedanam. The nine processes of devotional service are as follows. 1. Having the name and glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 2. Chanting His glories. 3. Remembering the Lord. 4. Serving the lotus feet. 5. Worshipping the deity. 6. Offering obeisances unto the Lord. 7. Acting as the Lord's servant. 8. Making friends with the Lord. 9. Surrendering oneself fully to the Lord. Shravanam, or hearing, is the first step in acquiring transcendental knowledge. One should not give oral reception to unauthorized persons, but should approach the proper person as recommended in the Bhagavad Gita 4.34, Tadvidi Panipatena Paripashnena Sevaya Upadekshanti Tegyana Gyaninas Tatvadarshanaha. In the translation, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. So the first element in this verse is utsahan, or enthusiasm. One has to be enthusiastic to succeed in anything. Even in sports, first quality, it's mental. Even though it's a very physical activity, it requires a great strain. Athletes have to learn how to push back the threshold of pain. They have to learn how to eat a certain way. They have to spend many hours a day practicing, developing certain muscles. They have to sleep a certain way. They have to exercise all different kinds of parts of the body. They have to lead a regulated life. They have to sleep a certain number of hours a day. And everything has to be very consciously regulated. They can't miss anything, especially if they're going to compete. But the first thing that they require is enthusiasm. They have to think, they have to feel that they're going to win the race. They're going to get the top number of points in the game. They're going to beat the previous record. They have to have that enthusiasm and that vision. So in spiritual life, the first qualification is one has to be enthusiastic. Enthusiastic about everything in devotional life, about associating with the deities, associating with the devotees, associating with the printed word, associating with prasadam. associating with holy places, associating with the spiritual environment, associating with the process of expanding Krishna consciousness. That has is something that requires great enthusiasm and vision, that I'm going to make my family Krishna conscious, I'm going to make my friends Krishna conscious, I'm going to widen the circle of Krishna consciousness in my community or in my city. This kind of enthusiasm is necessary. As one engenders more Krishna consciousness, as one accumulates more Krishna consciousness, one wants to share it. It's just as we eat something. We can only eat so much. We want to share anything that's a good thing. We want to share it with others, because others can not only take advantage of it, but they can also advance it. They can spread it. So enthusiasm is absolutely necessary in any form of endeavor. Whatever we want to do, we have to be enthusiastic. So, and this enthusiasm, it's contagious. It's something that's infectious. When people come here, they see the devotees are enthusiastic. Maybe they don't see anything else in the very beginning. Or they see us chanting on the streets. Sometimes we've been in very remote jungle regions in the Amazon or in Africa or up where the Eskimos live in Alaska. And even though they don't have any idea what we're chanting, there's always a big crowd gathered around, making a circle, sometimes pushing to get in and see what they're doing. So they only see maybe some very enthusiastic people that are singing some strange names. But the enthusiasm is there, and that's the beginning. That is the very first thing, both for ourselves and for others. Enthusiasm, utsaha nishchaya daryat. And Prabhupada will explain what some of the other principles are. After enthusiasm, one has to be very determined, and this is known as confidence. First, we're very enthusiastic, but we also, at the same time, can't be blindly enthusiastic. We have to be confident that we're going to reach the goal. Sometimes students start out very enthusiastically, for instance, in a particular subject, and then after a while they decide they want to change. They didn't like medicine, so they wanted to go into philosophy, or they didn't like philosophy, they wanted to go into mathematics. Of course, the enthusiasm to complete the course of studies is there, and that kind of enthusiasm is necessary, but there has to be confidence that I will complete the course. So in spiritual life, our confidence is that if we make an endeavor to advance in spiritual life, that endeavor will be reciprocated, that Krishna will reciprocate. Yayatamam prapadyante tamsataiva vajamyaham. That principle is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, that as one surrenders unto me, Krishna says, I reward him accordingly. So there's a reciprocal, symbiotic, or I guess synergistic is the word of the day, part very modern word, way of understanding how we as mamai vamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashastra nindriyani prakriti stani karshati, as individual spirit souls are related to Krishna. Krishna claims aham bija pradapita, claims to be the father. So there's always reciprocation between the child and the father. So the confidence is that if I'm taking shelter of my father, I'll be protected. Just like your baby is in your arms, always feeling protected. No matter what happens, this child feels protected. So a devotee of Krishna is always confident that no matter what I may aspire to do in my enthusiasm, it's going to get done, because Krishna is going to reciprocate. If I surrender unto him, if I make a pact, if I make a resolution, like a New Year's resolution, to do something, then Krishna is going to help me. He's going to help me do it. And then I can feel confident, just like the child holding on to father's hand or mother's arm. That kind of confidence. That's the kind of confidence a devotee has. The confidence of the kitten being picked up by the mother. The rat would be very terrified of the hot breath and the jaws of the mother, but the kitten feels a warm brace, the embrace of the caress of the mother's breath. So that is the meaning of confidence. And then patient. Being patient is one of the other principles. One can be very enthusiastic, confident of the result, but impatient, that I wanted to get it now. And in this culture that we are growing up in, that we're living in, this American United States culture, everyone wants instant gratification. They want it now. So they have a little module, and there's 80 or 150 different channels. that they can be watching because they want to get it now, and they watch each thing for maybe 2 seconds or 3 seconds to see if it's okay, then on to the next one, on to the next one. So we live in a culture of instant gratification. If I can't have it now, if I can't have my big TV screen, if I can't have my house or my car, whatever it is, whatever I want. This is the culture of this country that has become very infectious, unfortunately, all over the world. Then I don't want it. I'm not willing to wait. So to be enthusiastic, to be confident of the result, and then to be patient, this is a quality of devotion, that one can be very enthusiastic, very confident of the result, and yet, at the same time, be willing to wait. And why are we willing to wait? Because Krishna may not give us our desired object immediately. It may take time. It may take one day, but it also might take 1 year. Or it also might take one decade, or one score, one lifetime. We don't know. But we are confident that Krishna will fulfill our desire. There's one story I can relate in this connection, and we'll allow you time to ask questions. There was a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is an incarnation of Krishna himself, 500 years ago. And he was ostracized from Lord Chaitanya's company for doing nonsensical things. We don't have to say what they were exactly. But he was banished from the company of Lord Chaitanya, and he was told that he couldn't see Lord Chaitanya for millions of lifetimes. Actually, he was told he would never see him again. This was the first instruction. He could never see him again. He was banished forever. Not for millions of lifetimes, but forever. So his friends began to plead with Lord Chaitanya, please let him come back. He didn't mean it. He's reformed. And he did. He made up his mind. He would never do these things again. But the answer always came back, no, we'll not see him. Never see him again, never see him again, never see him again. So they would continue to plead and plead. And after a long time and many pleadings, Lord Chaitanya finally relented and said, okay, you tell him that I can see him, but only after many, many millions of lifetimes. Only then will I see him. So when this devotee heard the news, he began to dance in ecstasy and chant Hare Krishna, because he knew that he had the patience to wait millions of lifetimes to see the Lord. And he was completely ecstatic, because he knew that this life is just a very tiny drop in the vast ocean of time. So when Lord Chaitanya heard that he was chanting and dancing in ecstasy, even after hearing it would take millions of lifetimes to see him again, he said, I'll send him immediately. Send him, I want to see him. And he was brought back into the company of Lord Chaitanya. So he was very, very patient. He had developed this quality that if I ever see him again, ever, no matter how long it takes, many millions of lifetimes, I'll be very happy. So I'm going to stop here, because nobody likes to listen to lectures, but people like to talk things over, or you might have some things you want to say or ask or comment upon. So I'm just going to let everybody think about it for a few minutes. And then if you'd like to say something or ask me, make up a point for discussion, please do so. How do you develop patience? These are, as I was saying, they're hints. And what the verse says, what Rupa Goswami says, is there are six principles favorable for the execution of devotional service. Then he names the six. And at the end he says, these six principles undoubtedly assure the complete success of your devotional service. So all of this indicates that one has to practice, that there is no magic formula, no silver bullet or secret ingredient which will give us these qualities. But they are principles. A principle is something that one has to learn through very often repetition, through mental discipline, through going to others who have mastered the art, and through studying all the different ramifications of these topics. So being patient is very difficult in an impatient culture, in an impatient surrounding. So we try to learn the art of developing patience in an impatient society. Everything is based on instantaneous acquisition. We get it. But we know that certain things take time. It takes time to get a degree. It takes time to get upward job mobility. It takes time to have a baby. It takes time to have a family. Everything, actually, they say Rome wasn't built in a day. Everything good, in one sense, it doesn't come instantly. The good things that come from waiting and being patient and working very faithfully. It's a great credit to the Asian community, especially the Indian community, that they, compared to our American culture, people tend to be patient. They're willing to wait for their nobility, for their degrees, and so on. We have grown up in a culture of impatience. So this has to be practiced. It has to be practiced in everything we do. And in devotional service, we practice by chanting, and we practice by constantly hearing, by associating with devotees. And if we're confident and enthusiastic, then we can learn to be patient, because we'll know that at the end of all this, enthusiasm and confidence that we'll get the result, there's going to be a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, so they say. It may take a long time, but the longest journey begins with a first step. I'm just full of aphorisms tonight. Rome wasn't built in a day. All good things take a long time. But it's true, isn't it? I mean, that you have to start somewhere. And then you take the next step. And just like a little child is learning how to walk, one step, two steps, three steps, and then someday that little child will be a marathon runner. But it has to start somewhere. So it's a principle. It's a principle that everything occurs over time. Some people think that spiritual life is different, that you'll just get zapped by the acharya, by the rishi. He'll touch your head like the Lord touched the head of Dhruva Maharaj, and that everyone can do that, and we can get instant salvation. We can get instant realization. We'll see God face to face in 1 second. But that's not the case. All of the people who are following Krishna consciousness, they're not following it because America's powerful and influential and rich. They're following it because they've studied. They've studied for years and years. They've applied their minds to this philosophy of Krishna consciousness. They've tried to understand not only who God is, but how He created the universe, how He expands Himself, and how he is incarnated into different forms, and what the duties of all these different forms are. So it requires discipline and study to learn patience. Patience, like everything else, has to be learned. Spiritual life, the qualities of Krishna, the qualities of devotees, they all have to be learned. They can't come from one kirtan. Oh, we might get liberated, but how long is that liberation going to last? So we have to be fixed. Just like when we learn physics, we have to learn the principles, we have to learn the math, we have to learn the results of the experiments, and then we can go ahead and do our own research. So one, in order to be anything, you have to study, you have to be patient. So we learn by doing it, we learn by being confident and enthusiastic, and we learn from others who have become more patient than we are. You can always learn so much from others. Isn't it so? Thank you. Other comments? Yes. Well, this is a very good question. Mr. Vashisht is asking, why do we say non-devotees, just as Christians say non-Christians, as Muslims say kafir? In other words, why do we create a barrier between us and them? Actually, this is a very important concept, because probably more than just about anything else, this impedes the progress of any spiritual discipline, to think in terms of us and them. Lord Kapila discusses this principle in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He talks about there are different grades of devotees. And from one perspective, Prabhupada was asked this once, everyone is a devotee. Everybody. He was asked this once. He said, how many devotees do you have? And by a reporter. Prabhupada was getting off an airplane, and the reporter asked him, how many devotees do you have? He said, oh, the number is unlimited. And he was so shocked. What can be unlimited? There's 6 billion people on the planet. And he was just shocked. Then Prabhupada kind of mercifully bailed him out by saying, of course, some don't know it. But what does that mean? That means from Bhagavad Gita it says, Mamai Vamso Jiva Loke, that everybody is a part and parcel of Krishna. So in one sense, everybody is not only devotee, but everybody is Nitya Siddha. Everybody is a part and parcel of Krishna. So Lord Kapila says there's different gradations of these devotees. There's a devotee who just stays in the temple all the time and stays there, doesn't go out, just worships the deity very nicely, but doesn't see that others have within them Paramatma, the super soul. So that kind of devotee is very much in this us and them consciousness, doesn't see that there is the super soul, that this strange person that I've never seen before is also a devotee, doesn't see like that. But it is enjoined in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, Ishvara Taradineshu, Balisheshu Dvishatsu Shat, that we should become of a higher grade, and we should see everyone as Balisheshu Dvishatsu Shat, everyone as a child, as our own child. In other words, we should see everybody, with love and affection. I was on a radio program with Dennis Prager in California, and his show goes to about 6 or 7 states. And the question of the day, I was on there with it's a talk show where people phone in about 3 hours long with a rabbi and a priest and an Anglican bishop. So the question of the day was, does your religion allow you to hate serial killers? Very strange question. But this is one that this guy has grappling with. So over the course of the time, I had to try to explain that anyone, Avichet Sudar Acharo, Bhajate Mama Ananyabhag, can be forgiven of even the most sinful activity. So we don't know who is walking in through that door or who we might see out on the street. We don't know that that person could become a very, very great acharya someday. It happens. It's already happened. It's happened. We've seen it in our lifetime. So I think personally that this term should be banished from our vocabulary. Non-devotee, karmi, these are very demeaning words. Of course, we have to make distinctions sometimes between someone who's formally initiated and someone who's not, and therefore we sometimes use these terms, and we have to use them because we have to say sometimes man, woman, child, but really they're all spirit souls. It really doesn't matter what the outer covering is. That's what we call skin disease. So a devotee is enjoined by Lord Kapila to see everyone as Balisheshu Dvishatsu Chat, everyone as innocent, the innocent person who needs to be embraced with Krishna consciousness. That is the proper thing. And that is what, when we say Krishna conscious movement, we're talking about a universal principle of loving God, of seeing the soul in everyone, and seeing that everyone has an activity to serve God. That's all. And that should be the case in every religion. And it is among the people who are thoughtful, who are intelligent, who are the jnanis, so to speak, of the Christian and Islamic faith. They see the equality in all beings. But there's a type of, I guess we can call it fanaticism, for lack of a better word, in which we look down on everyone and we think we're God's gift to the world. And that is not going to help. Not going to help anyone. Krishna consciousness is a form of consciousness. And it means God consciousness. It's the science of learning how to love God. And anyone can do that from any religion. Anyone can learn to love God. All you need to do is engage in devotional service, learn how to say the name of God. And we have time for one very brief question because we're going to run out of time. Yeah. Yeah. Joe Chandra is asking about associating with, because Prabhupada said this, and we have to be very careful about what Prabhupada says. They're kind of like the old Simon Says, you know, you find anything to back up what you want. But it's true. It says that, Prabhupada said it, and it's also said right in this book, in the verse previous to this. But what does it mean? It means that if we intimately associate, it doesn't mean don't associate, because if we didn't associate, we wouldn't be able to expand Krishna consciousness. Once the devotee asked Prabhupada, this is on a tape, I heard this recently, he said, sometimes people don't listen, they don't want to hear about it. What do I do? They don't want to hear about Krishna consciousness. He said, then why are you talking to anybody? What's the point of being a devotee? But at the same time, associating intimately with very materialistic association, I mean, if you watched MTV too much, or some of the sitcoms, or you become overly involved in people's lives that are completely materialistic, or they're not looking for spiritual solutions, this can be very devastating to one's spiritual life. So it is recommended that we avoid that kind of intimacy. Intimacy, prema maitrikara propiksha, is mentioned also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, should be left for devotees. When you're going to be intimate with somebody, then that's the time to develop fast friendship with the devotee. That's also mentioned in this verse, tadati pradigranati. So friendship, intimacy, close association, sarusanga, that's meant for the people who we look up to, or people who we learn something from. So we have to be a little careful. If someone is very inimical or atheistic, then one is advised not to spend so much time to avoid such persons. So we have to be careful. Now, thank you very much for your wonderful question. We're going to ask everyone to join in chanting, because this is something you can take with you everywhere, and you can begin the process. You don't have to sit in a quiet room and meditate. That's not recommended for Kali Yuga, but for Satya Yuga, when the lifespan was a lot longer. And we begin with this summit bead, the one that has the cloth sticking out, and with the third and the finger and the thumb, we chant the 16 words. For those of you here for the first time, that's the mantra up on the wall, just above the alcove. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's one mantra. So there's 108 beads on the beads you're holding, and we're going to advance by going forward. It's the opposite of shooting marbles. You know, you shoot marbles like this, but we're going like this. We're pulling the beads towards us. So we chant one time of the 16-word mantra, one mantra or 16 words, and then we pull the beads towards us and chant the next Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So if we all start together, and we'll all end together, and then we'll all stand up for Aarti, and then we have a wonderful feast prepared for everybody. So we'll begin. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.